Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we'll learn how God steps in when we step out in faith.
Lord, guide me, lead me. Some of you aren't even asking that question. You're just walking through life saying, God, I wish I had an opportunity. God, you never use me. And God said, hello right there, hello right there, hello right there. And you're just walking by divine opportunities because you haven't prepared your heart to say, hear my Lord, use me.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and the Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. A lot of people are going through life singularly focused and not paying attention to what's going on around them. Maybe that's you at this moment. Or perhaps you hear God speaking to you and nudging you to pay attention to those divine moments in your life. Well, either way, on today's program, we're learning what it means to step out in faith in order to be a part of God's plan. Our message is called Divine Appointments, and if you'd like to learn more about this ministry or Pastor Mark Jobe, just go to boldstepsradio.org. But right now, let's hear what Mark has to say.
God says, I'm going to overcome your prejudice. You're going to reach people that you never thought you would reach. I'm going to have you present the gospel to people that you're not even fond of. And some of you work with people, you think, that person, they probably deserve to go to hell. I'm not going to present the gospel to them. You don't even like them. You don't think they'd be open. But yet maybe God is breaking down your prejudice. Maybe God is taking you a little bit out of the box and saying, I want you to be open to this divine appointment, because not only is God preparing people, but God has to prepare you to seize the opportunities. Notice what happens next. Peter actually invites these Gentiles into his house, which was unheard of. I believe that God does things in prayer and prepares our hearts in prayer. There's no major breakthrough that's happened in this church that hasn't happened, first of all, I believe, through fasting and prayer. Practically every major event that's happened in this church has happened on the heels of us calling out to God in fasting and prayer. Prayer not only moves the hand of God, but prayer changes you. Prayer softens your heart. Prayer allows you to hear God. Prayer begins to work in your heart as well. I believe that when people pray, God starts to move and guide us and lead us. There is a couple. They're in their mid-70s right now, called Peter and Mariette Stott. Some of you know them. Every year, we fly them over from England over to the States, and they stay about 10 days every 6 months. Their only job is to travel around and meet with our pastoral couples. We have about 30 pastoral couples at New Life scattered throughout the city. And they meet with the couples, and they just pray over them, hear them, listen to them. They're just a godly, prophetic couple. And they've really ministered to a lot of our pastors. They're older, they're semi-retired, but this is what they do. And I was thinking the other day of how we first met Peter and Mariette, and it's an incredible story. Let me tell you that how this happened. And I believe God works this way when we pray. Peter and Mariette were pastoring a church in Havant, England, in the UK. And they were having a prayer meeting with about 15 or 20 people praying that God would move, that God would work, that God would do some things. And they were praying for England and praying for Europe and praying for the world. And so they laid out a map in the middle of the living room where they were praying, and they started just praying over the map, asking that God would move and that God would work and that the glory of God would come to the nations. And while they were praying, one of the people that was there praying said, hold on a second. There's a city right there in the middle of Spain called Burgos, B-U-R-G-O-S. I don't know what happened, but it's like that city just jumped out at me. I think God wants us to do something. Anybody know anybody in Burgos? No. Anybody ever been to Burgos? No. as they prayed, they sense a confirmation from all of them that God wanted to do something in that city called Burgos. They'd never been there, never visited, and so they decided to act on it, and they sent three people down to the city of Burgos from England. They traveled all the way to Burgos, and they started praying from street to street, saying, Lord, we're not sure exactly why we're here, but we believe that you called us here for a purpose and a plan. They barely spoke Spanish, and so they began asking around, hey, are there Christianos? Are there Christianos around here? And someone who barely understood what they were saying said, yeah, over there, there's a Christian church in that building that meets over a funeral parlor. These three people went to that small Christian church. Guess who was the pastor of that small Christian church? My dad. And they had a great time of fellowship. And the next time around, they said, hey, you would really connect with our pastor. And so a few months later, Peter and Mariette went to Burgos and met with my parents. And they said, we've been praying for this city. We don't know exactly how this worked out, but God has opened up these doors to pray for this city. They developed a strong friendship with this godly couple that prays. And now that godly couple is coming to Chicago and blessing our pastors and ministering to our pastors and really helping them out. You know where it all started? It started in a prayer meeting. I believe that the Church of the Living God is not like Walmart, IBM, Procter & Gamble. They do demographic studies. They study the data to see where they should go next, what church they should plant next, what business they should plant next. You know what we do? We pray. And we say, Lord, you lead us. You guide us. You know you're smarter than us, bigger than us. The churches that we planted around Chicago, it's because we prayed and God opened up doors that we should plant those churches, because God is going ahead of us and God is preparing us to seize the opportunities that he has for us. Listen to me, people of God. Some of you are walking right by divine opportunities, open doors, because you haven't been asking yourself, Lord, what are my divine appointments? You haven't been saying, God, is there an open door I should walk through? God, what are you saying to me? Is there a person I should pray for? Is there a neighbor I should talk to? Lord, guide me, lead me. Some of you aren't even asking that question. You're just walking through life saying, God, I wish I had an opportunity. God, you never use me. And God said, hello right there. Hello right there. Hello right there. And you're just walking by divine opportunities because you haven't prepared your heart to say, here, my Lord, use me. Peter had to get rid of some prejudice before he was willing to be used of God. And then the Bible says that Peter made the transition, and the next day he got up with these three guys and he started making his way to Caesarea, to the house of Cornelius, which leads me to my third point. Not only has God been at work before you showed up, he's been preparing you to seize divine opportunities. So some of you need to get rid of some prejudice. Some of you need to bulk up in faith. Some of you need to be a little bit more bold. And some of you need to be asking, Lord, is the door is open? Then use me to step through it. Number three, and lastly, you have to remember that God is willing to step in when we step out in faith. Verse 25. It tells us that Peter, once he traveled 30 miles away, he got to the house of Cornelius and he entered into the house. Cornelius met him and he fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I'm only a man myself. So imagine, Peter gets to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman soldier, an oppressor of Peter's people. He's walking into the house of the enemy. But yet God has told him, no, I'm giving you a door of opportunity. He walks into the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius sees him, and because an angel has spoken to him, because this is so divine, he falls at the feet of Peter, almost like Peter was this Superman or semi-God. Peter says, stand up, I'm only a man like you. By the way, isn't it ironic that Peter, when Cornelius tried to bow down at his feet and tried to give him reverence and tried to honor him, that he said, get up. Don't bow at my feet. You should only bow at God's feet. Isn't it ironic that people today kiss and bow to the statue of St. Peter all over the world? Hello? I think Peter's saying something. Get up! If Peter could, Peter's turning his face in glory, saying, what are these people doing? Bowing at my statue, kissing my feet? Only one that deserves to be worshipped. His name is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, whom I serve. In fact, I find it a little bit ironic that in the great St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, there's a huge statue of Peter. I've been there, and where people come in and they kiss the toe of St. Peter's statue, and Peter would be saying, get up, get up. You say, well, Pastor, I really like St. Peter. Well, if you like St. Peter, then worship the God, the Jesus, the Messiah that St. Peter worshiped as well. So Peter walks into the room, and he basically says, here I am, what do you want from me? It says, so immediately, I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Man, that's an audience. He says, all right, Peter, tell us. The angel sent you, tell us. What do you want us to know? I think God opens up those divine opportunities for us, but we have to be prepared with the gospel. We have to be ready to say, okay, you want to know what the message is? The message is, first of all, you need to know the gospel of Jesus.
Opening the door for you to step out in faith. That is the takeaway so far from our message here today from Mark Jobe here on Bold Steps. We're taking a brief pause from our message to remind you that we'd love to know that you're listening. You can connect with us online at boldstepsradio.org or check out our various social media platforms. You'll find us on Instagram or Facebook just by logging into your account. On both platforms, we're listed as Bold Steps. Now, let's jump back into today's message. Once again, here's Mark Jobe.
I first started pastoring the church. I was 21 years old, and I met a guy who had a really, really rough background. He had actually come out of prison for 5 years. A really rough background. But he was sort of the leader of his clan, the leader of his family. And I started mentoring him. Even though he was a lot older than me, I started mentoring him. I met with him, started just discipling him, teaching him the gospel. And he had led a prostitution ring before. He had led a gang before. He was a tough guy, smart guy, great guy. Came to know Jesus in a powerful, dramatic way. And he said, Pastor, my family needs to know Jesus. So he said, I've set up an appointment. I said, okay. I didn't know what to expect. I showed up at the house at the time he told me. And when I walked into the living room, there was about 25 people all gathered around, all sitting in there. And he got up and he said, I brought the pastor here because all you need to get saved. So pastor, go ahead, tell him. And I was like, hi, my name is Mark. And I presented the gospel. Let me tell you, because of that man's witness, there's a whole bunch of people in this church right now that are sons and daughters or grandkids or cousins of this man because he gave his life to Jesus and was willing to be bold. So Peter stands in front of this gathering of people that are, they're not believers yet. They're Gentiles. It's out of his comfort zone. And he stands up and he presents the gospel simply. There was a man, his name was Jesus, the Son of Man, lived a perfect life, fulfilled prophecy, came. They crucified him. He died on a cross. On the third day, he rose again to bring peace between God and man. Those that are willing to repent and believe and follow him will receive the forgiveness of their sins, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and can be turned around in their life for good. He presented the gospel. And listen, it says this: while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Oh man, I'm so glad I don't do this alone. I'm so glad I do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad when I get up to preach, it's not like, oh God, I'm going to preach this message. I hope you back it. When I get up and preach, every Sunday before I get up and preach, I say, Holy Spirit, we're going to preach today. Fill me afresh. Fill me anew. Help me, Lord, because my words will fumble and stumble. But you can do what I can't do. You can speak what I can't speak. You can touch people where I can't touch them. You can get to their heart like I can't. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill me, saturate me, prepare the people. And so this becomes a spirit-empowered gathering where you're not just hearing the words spoken from the Word of God, but you are sensing and feeling the power of the Holy Spirit that takes the words of God, combines it with faith, and brings about a powerful spiritual combustion that changes people's lives around. I'm so glad I don't do this alone. I'm so glad that it's the power of the Holy Spirit that goes before. And the Bible says that while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit came upon all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers, that means the Jewish believers, who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured upon the Gentiles. Not too long before that, 120 Jewish people had gathered together in an upper room, and they were praying together, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in languages that they had not learned, preaching the gospel and proclaiming the praise of God in languages that they had never learned. We call it glossolalia, or tongues, in languages that they had not understood. I think the Holy Spirit wanted them to know that the Jewish people were not any different than the Gentile people. And so several days after that, the Holy Spirit decided to have a Gentile Pentecost. Just like he had a Jewish Pentecost, this was the Gentile Pentecost. And as he preached the gospel, suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon them in a powerful, brand new way. And they began to have a little Pentecost like they had had before. This Roman centurion, with his garb and his Italian background, suddenly is overwhelmed, filled with the Holy Spirit, and praising God like he never thought he would before, because it was the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon him. Listen, it says, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of them being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. They heard the gospel. When you hear the gospel and respond to the gospel in faith and repentance and belief, then it's the Holy Spirit that comes inside of you. You cannot be a believer without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that changes you from the inside out. Some people I run into, they say, I'm a Christian, but I don't have the Holy Spirit. No, no such thing. You cannot be a believer without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that brings salvation and regeneration to your life. If you're a believer, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. If you are a follower of Jesus, the one who saves you, is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, a power that is greater than you, that invades your body, empowers you to live the Christian life, brings salvation to you, and brings conviction to your life. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He also gives you gifts of the Spirit so that you can operate in a supernatural way and minister to people around you. There's a whole bunch of gifts of the Spirit that God gives. If you're a believer, you have the Spirit, and if you're a believer, you have the gifts of the Spirit as well. And then he said, if you truly are a believer, then you need to get up, find some water, and get baptized. You hear the message, you receive the Spirit, and then you take the outward sign of going into the water and coming out of the water saying, I'm washed, I'm clean, and I'm following Jesus. So that very day he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. Here's this Italian Roman guard, the very first Gentiles, going into the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus. God started something that would revolutionize the world. The majority of Christians today are Gentiles. The first of them, right there. Why? Because Peter did not despise a divine appointment. Because Peter said, Lord, here I am. Get me out of my box. I'm willing to step in faith. Because when I step out in faith, you step in. There may be entire families, hundreds of people, that are waiting to come to know Jesus because you open up and share the gospel with the Father that shares with his wife and his children and their cousin, their aunts and uncles, and the gospel spreads rapidly. But someone's got to have the boldness to step into that divine appointment. Someone's got to have the boldness.
This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to the Bible teaching of Pastor Mark Jobe. If you've missed any of the messages in this series, you can catch up online at boldstepsradio.org.
In today's economy, God is often typecast as the villain rather than the hero that he is, because for centuries, people have struggled with understanding how a loving father could let his son die. So, how do we explain the gospel in a way that reflects God's true nature and his holy plan? Ray Pritchard's book, An Anchor for the Soul, Help for the Present, Hope for the Future, grapples with those questions, and he explains who Jesus is and why he had to die. This book's amazing because it takes seminary course materials and makes them relatable, yeah, to the average Joe. If you know someone who's a doubter, a seeker, or a skeptic, be sure to ask for the book, An Anchor for the Soul, Help for the Present, Hope for the Future, today when you give a gift of any amount. It's our Bold Steps gift, and you'll find it online at boldstepsradio.org or call 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363.
And if it's easier, you can send your gift in the mail along with your request for An Anchor for the Soul. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Once again, that's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Well, Mark, thanks for this message about divine appointments today. Next time, we're going to begin a special series designed to help lead us into Christmas. You know, the lights are hung and all the cheery Christmas music is being played. You know, the lights are hung and all the cheery music is being played everywhere we go now, but there are people who are hurting. I wonder if you would pray for those who are hurting during this holiday season, and also pray for all of us that we won't miss those divine appointments.
Absolutely, Wayne. During the holidays and leading up to Christmas, there are families that come together, people that we connect with. And I believe that God is setting up some divine appointments even now for the holiday season. Mm-hmm. And so I want to pray for you that God would fill you, that God would sensitize you,
to step into those appointments he may be preparing.
Okay.
Father, we thank you that you right now are stirring up hearts of family members, of relatives, of friends. You're softening their hearts. You're preparing them for seeds of the gospel. And so we pray, God, we pray that we would be filled with your Spirit, that we would recognize open doors spiritually, and that we would not be afraid to walk through them with grace and love. And so I pray, Father, for those that are listening right now, God, that you would empower them to respond to those divine appointments that you, even now, are setting up for the holiday seasons. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. That's our time for today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we'll start that series about Christmas. Be listening Wednesday right here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe.